is not a test. This is reality.
ZeroPointRadio.com. I'm Clyde Lewis. With the events unfolding in the world right now, it is becoming alarming as to the accuracies of the discussions at the Ground Zero Lounge. If you listen to any of the most recent Ground Zero Lounge shows replayed on this radio station, you will see that everything spoken of at these events is taking place now. If you want accurate information about what is in store for your future, I ask you to remain listening to ZeroPointRadio.com and ask your friends and neighbors to spread the word. We are proud of our programming and want you to rely on it for its compelling and accurate portrayal of what plans are in store for the country. Many of these Ground Zero shows were recorded much earlier in the year. Many of them have been recorded 6 years ago. What Ground Zero talked about in the past is now in your present. And what we are giving you now is not a test. It is the future.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Good to have you out. This here, a big round of applause for Jared. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank Dante, Sue, loud and proud. We're heard on ZeroPointRadio.com. They have us lit tonight. In fact, last week's show was just a blockbuster show. We thank you all for being here last week for the show. How great it was that we were able to talk a little bit about what's going on in the news. We always do this at the Ground Zero Lounge, and that's why we're here. We get all of the news stories prior to them being mainstream. In fact, a lot of the stuff that you hear comes from barbershops and bars. It's all pretty much, I guess you could say, against the narrative. It's kind of crazy, kind of out there. People always say, well, it's all a weird conspiracy theory until somebody basically puts it on NBC, CBS, all the networks. But truth is that you're getting the story right here. You're getting it raw. You're getting it live at the Ground Zero Lounge. Once again, let's thank Dante's loudly, please, as loud as you can. Frank has been a big support of Ground Zero, and we're very grateful for him for providing this place and everything else. A couple things I want to tell you. There's some new shows we have on the network at ZeroPointRadio.com. First of all, there's a new show called, get a little of this, The Bubba Knucklehead Show, which is kind of a funny show that we have on there. The ZeroPointRadio.com website is available, and you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It features a lot of great shows that talk about the same subjects we talk about here at the Ground Zero Lounge. Also, some shows that are a little bit more lighthearted and a little bit more lifestyle-oriented with music and a few other things talk. It's just a well-rounded, great show, great network for your lifestyle, and we're very grateful for Zero Point Radio. Once again, we'd like to thank our videotapers, our videographers. Bill Coons is here tonight, and also Mike. Give them a round of applause for doing this. We are trying to do multimedia more, and it's very good. We're going to be having a network of video as well online. Anything Ground Zero, anything that is in the same realms as Ground Zero, we're going to be covering and we're going to be talking about here. So pretty soon, you know, we're just taking over. As we say, we're taking over the world one mind at a time. And we're hopefully going to do our best to educate people, get the word out, and make things happen. And we do this primarily with very little money. But we like to have help. We like to, basically tell people that we do have things available. Like I always say to people, If you want any of the shows that I produce here, what I'm talking about is the slideshows for reference, because a lot of people say, well, Clyde, you know, I talk to my friends and they don't understand what you're trying to say, and I try to say it and I can't say it that way. All you got to do is just get it on a disc, pop it into your computer and say, take a look at this. And it's all footnoted, it's all backed up, and you can study it online if you need to. It's all good to have that reference. So that's available too. If any of you, like tonight, for example, if you want to have a copy of this show, or if there's some shows you've been saying, hey, I really like that show that you had on like a couple weeks ago, can I get a copy of it? We sell the copies for $10 a piece, and they're really good. And you can use them for any kind of reference you want. So tonight, first of all, I want to talk about a few things in the news. How many people heard that Dick Cheney is now under investigation for a secret CIA group that he established? How many people heard about that? Now, we had talked about this weeks ago on the Ground Zero Lounge. We were talking about Dick Cheney being part of a shadow government. We had already revealed this, and people were saying, well, how do you have that information? We get the information, and we bring it to you. And so now we have Dick Cheney being part of some secret government. How many people have heard that the moon missions have been scrapped? They're not going to go to the moon. They decided, yep. We said that wasn't going to happen. We said that here at the Ground Zero Lounge before they even came out with the budget. And the funny thing is that I had said, if the L-Cross mission is worth its weight at all, they're going to take pictures of the lunar landers. Well, I just got word that they're going to, okay? We'll wait and see, because I just saw the footage that they were trying to pass off as footage from the L-Cross mission. It looks very digital. So, I mean, they have the power now to fake anything. Everything has to be under scrutiny, even UFO shots, okay? I'm also the type of person that says if you see a UFO in footage, you can't, you know, say right off the bat that it's something that's real until you have analyzed it. And a lot of things can be fake. They just, I think it was like the Rocky Mountain News just recently showed a video that's all over the internet right now as being real. What it was is somebody just took a pen light and put it in a window, and that's how they did it. And yet people are sitting there, well, I believe. You got to be careful because, you know, the truth now can be manufactured. We can manufacture truth. We can put the Pope dancing with a hooker if we want to in a picture, and people will think it's real. We got all kinds of things we can do now with technology. Technology is just, I mean, technology can change the world. It can change it for good or it can change it for bad. That is your choice. You know, we were talking about Michael Jackson last week, about transmogrification. Someone had brought up in the Ground Zero chat room that Michael Jackson was more Promethean than anything else. That he was the type of guy that was changing his looks because he wanted to change the world in a certain way. And there are a lot of people who compared it to Prometheus, bringing fire down. And then basically, you know, it's sort of like the trickster bringing fire down. Once you have fire, you don't want to take it back. You know, once the government takes away your rights, they don't want to give them back to you. Once somebody decides they want this, they're not going to take it back. And what's really funny is that, you know, this guy was telling me that Michael Jackson was a Promethean, and yet he was buried in a gold coffin that was called the Promethean model. And now, a number of things too, a lot of people are talking about numerology. How many people heard of the 7 numerological hex on Michael Jackson? They're talking about the numbers, and they're now talking about whether or not he was murdered. All what we talked about last week. So you notice that we generate some ideas. You notice that we talk about things that are going on now at Ground Zero that haven't gone on yet. So we're kind of ahead of the curve. And so if you're watching this right now on the internet, if you're listening to this right now on ZeroPointRadio.com, you are hearing what I call privileged information. You are getting the true early edition. Tonight is no exception. We've got a show tonight called Death by Transhumanism. Now, many of you, how many people are aware of what transhumanism is, sort of, kind of, by applause? Yeah, I get a few people raising. Okay, so you do know what it is. And have you noticed now that in films, there's a lot of it going on. There's a lot of the information about transhumanism from the Transformers. You see that to, what is it, Terminator now, Salvation, had also about the idea of cyborg and human. Another thing that's interesting is I was reading, and get a load of this, I was reading in, I can't remember, some science fiction website the other day. They're going to remake RoboCop. Why? Yeah, why? They're going to remake RoboCop. I mean, hell, we had three sequels to try and get it right, and we couldn't. And now they're going to do another one. They're going to this is like remaking Freddy Krueger. They remade Halloween. I mean, you know, there's not an original idea in Hollywood anymore. So, you know, get ready for remakes of everything. They're going to remake everything in the future because they just don't have anything else to do. There's a lot of things I want to get to tonight about technology and transhumanism, but first, one of the things that was interesting is as I was preparing the show, I was with my fiance Janine, and we were talking about the show, and we were kind of talking about transhumanism and how crazy it was. We came up with the idea that the way to get transhumanism into the hearts and minds of people and have them think about the future is to kind of, not necessarily dumb it down, but to make it so it's a little bit more fun to know about what's coming outside of politics as usual and outside of nuclear war and outside of New World Order. So we decided to do it like a Dr. Seuss story. So tonight's show is called Death by Transhumanism, Right Wing, Left Wing, New Thing, Up Wing. A lot of people don't know what up wing means. Well, there is the right wing, there is the left wing, and then there's a group called the up wing. The up wing believes that we don't need right wing and left wing because technology is going to take care of all of our problems. And so there's where they think. They're thinking on the up wing. They're thinking of, you know, there's something better. Go ahead.
Then all of we nihilists will just have to create the down wing.
Something like that, yes. And not only that, but I think it was Sarah that brought up the idea that, you know, fascism takes two wings to have the bird fly. So when you have those, so give her a hand for that. That's a very, very brilliant statement. In fact, she made it out here in front of Dante's, and somebody says, can I record that? Can I write that down, please? You know, it's like people following Ground Zero listeners around saying, I want to write down what you say because it's so neat and cool. So, yeah, that happens a lot, too. So tonight, we're kind of going to do a little Dr. Seuss for you. We're going to do some facts for you. I want to remind you that two microphones are here, one over here and one over here. If you have something you want to say, something you want to debate me about or debate another Ground Zero patron, you can do that as well. That's what they're there for. Otherwise, I'm up here talking my mouth off, and we don't learn anything. We just hear what I have to say. I want to hear what you have to say, too. And don't be afraid. You know, don't feel like you're going to feel stupid by saying something because you don't know what you're talking about. Everybody has an opinion on what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, taking it from the Dr. Seuss verses, and these are things that we came up with. Our apologies to Dr. Seuss, but in the meantime, from the primordial ooze, there came quite a rustle. Zimbat Zimbies just waiting to hustle. The Zimbats, it is said, came out of the goo. They evolved and they changed, and they became me and you. Some Zimbats turned dingbat and started a fad with gidgets and gadgets. Dingbats gone mad. With cell phones and laptops, techno gone wild, flesh-eating robots and DNA's child. The Zimbies turned into Zimbots, calling themselves trans, hiding behind delusions and Californian tans. To make a long story short, to be somewhat succinct, they went techno crazy and wound up extinct. I like that shot. Give it a hand if you like it. Yeah. We'd like to thank Janine for putting these together. Give her a big hand. She put a lot of these together. Janine is awesome. Okay, from nuclear bombs dropping and nanobite tails, their machines just consume them, and the gray goo as gray goo prevails. At the beginning of the year, we have been plagued with a word in our vernacular. That word is called change. Yeah, it's change. Okay, and change is being thrown around like a dirty shirt. While the left wing and the right wing see change in different ways, there's still another wing that sees the world differently, and that is the upwingers. The upwingers are brought about by a man who called himself FM 2030. His name is some strange Iranian name that I can't pronounce, but I'm just barely learning more about him. But he brought about the upwinger philosophy. And their idea of change is more Promethean and bold than with mere political ping pong. They believe that our change should come from enhancements in technology, that becoming more than human is the next phase in our evolution. And what's really interesting is it was Michael Jackson's transmogrification that got me thinking about transhumanism. And I had been thinking about it for a while, wanting to talk about it, back when, like I said, the Transformers came out, and back when we had the Terminator movie come out, and of course Terminator's made a comeback with the Sarah Connor Chronicles and all the other shows are out there. Movies like Transformers, Terminator, Salvation, and even parts of the movie Watchmen all deal with the idea of how humanity might be lost through its merge with technology. Now, we are integrating so quickly into a technological hyper-reality that a simulation is far more real than the mediocrity of the real. Everything is intensified, and it looks like if you feel a little bit overstimulated, it's because, by God, you are overstimulated. You know, let's talk about 9/11 for a minute. We had a terrorist attack on the United States. It wasn't really a terrorist attack. It was a terrorist event. It was an event because most terrorist attacks are just bombs going off in supermarkets and malls. In Tel Aviv, if a bomb goes off in a mall, they shut down the mall for a few minutes and everybody goes back to work. It's business as usual. In America, we shut down the airports, we shut down everything, we make a big deal out of everything, we turn it into a massive holiday, we all pray around the cross made out of girders. It's a bunch of shit. Okay, it's because we are completely maudlin when it comes to our tragedies. And that's how it goes. Go ahead.
Wasn't it really just a big psychological operation?
Sure it was.
Yeah, just
you exactly
your
right.
Mind.
It was enough to
change your thinking.
It was to change your thinking. It was to put you on edge. And that's the thing, is that it was a terror event. Now, everybody's saying, well, we're waiting for the next terrorist attack to happen. And Dick Cheney says we're waiting for the next terrorist attack to happen. No, we've had several attacks happen. They just haven't been the terror we're looking for. It isn't wrapped up with a towel in the head, or it isn't the type of, now it's a different type of terrorism. It's the terrorism from the right-wing extremists, from the Klansmen, from the guy who shoots up a Jewish Holocaust museum. You see, they're changing the idea of what terror is. Okay, we're making more hyper-real. There's no objectivity anymore, okay? The objectivity has gone out with advocacy journalism. So the technological kit that you suck off of, known as the television set, is changing your mind. And what do? They make it all digital now so they can flip the switch and change it all to state-run TV if they want to, which it already is pretty much. They hide all kinds of messages about the New World Order, the surveillance state, the police state. They hide all those things in your television shows now. And they're doing it on purpose. Because they want to breed you into this technological terror, this technological society. Everything intensified, overstimulation. You're going to have to, in the future, get upgrades in your brain in order to handle all the shit that's coming at you 24/7. And that's really going to be weird. I mean, the chips are not just for identification. The chips are going to be to enhance your ability to take in all this information and this information sensory overload. Because that's what they want you to do. They want you to be hyper all the time, on edge. We may have to face, now this is the scary part, we may have to face voluntary human extinction in order for this to happen. Now, what I'm not saying is we're all going to kill ourselves. What we're going to do is we're going to change ourselves with the promise that if we leave behind certain parts of our humanity, other parts of our humanity will be enhanced. Okay? And we need to find out, you know, what better life awaits us through technological enhancement. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. Science fiction illustrates the extremes of transhuman forms. Even though the idea of transhumanism extends the promise of neutralized pain and suffering, we must understand that it is pain and suffering that makes the joy of human experience more meaningful. It has been demonstrated in science fiction that while transhuman technology may prolong the life of one man, he still remains a slave buried in his technological prison. In Star Wars, we see Darth Vader, who was enslaved by technology and his own ego. And in RoboCop, the protagonist basically spends the whole time finding his humanity after his life was taken from him and he was transmogrified into a part robot, part human. Still having memories left behind of that sort of experience. Go ahead.
The same was true of the cyborg in Terminator Salvation.
Okay.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen it, he was... Well, I'm kind of giving away the twist in the middle, but he was programmed into a cyborg and sent into the future, and he did not know he was a cyborg until after he'd gotten into a battle and suddenly realized he was mechanical.
Right, right.
And that he spent the rest of the film trying to be human and deny what had happened to him.
See, what's interesting to note, very good, give her a hand for that, and the reason why is it sends us to the next phase here. It's interesting to note that in every science fiction film where you see a cyborg wants to be human. It's kind of a Pinocchio story. I'm not a real boy, but I want to be one. In reality, we want to become Pinocchio. Many of us feel that it would be a lot better if we became Pinocchio and not remain real, not remain human. Nietzsche described the Übermensch as one who has surpassed mankind but still cares for the transience and vitality that humankind represents. Every person who's attained that type of status wants to get back to his humanity. See, that's the problem I have with transhumanism. Even though a lot of things we do today is putting us more and more closer to that type of evolution, the problem with transhumanism is that we have to give up parts of our humanity in order for this to happen. And many of us can do it without batting an eye. And other people, on the other hand, would feel very, very badly about losing their humanity to become more like a machine. We all know the story, as I said, of Pinocchio wanting to be a real boy. This is about real people wanting to become more like Pinocchio. We take a look at shows like AI, artificial intelligence, where young David wanted to be more or less. He wanted to be like, he was very influenced by the Pinocchio story. The idea of Mecha to Orga or Orga to Mecha. This is where we're confused because a lot of people want to become more mechanized and more transhuman. And that's what we're looking at with this. Here's an article I found in Science News. Paralyzed people using computers, amputees controlling bionic limbs with microelectrodes and not in the brain. This technology is providing people the ability to walk again. While there are pacemakers, titanium heart valves, and now bionic limbs in order to improve life, there are people that believe that voluntary conversion of machines will help in creating a heaven on earth. The new evolution is being prepared as we speak, and many people are ready to convert. The question is, how far will you go? On July 3rd, 2009, Stephen Hawking spoke at a conference about how he believes humans have entered a new stage of evolution. Although it has taken Homo sapiens several million years to evolve from the apes, the useful information in our DNA has probably changed by only a few billion bits. So the rate of biological evolution in humans, Stephen Hawking points out in his Life in the Universe lecture, is about a bit a year. We have sped up our evolution with the use of drugs, bodily enhancements, and technology. The human we will see in the not-too-distant future, according to Hawking, will be an advanced human, maybe even something that has a semblance to humanity without even being human. And I'm going to give you an example of some of those things right now. And of course, we're entering that new phase where Hawking is calling self-designed evolution, in which we will be able to change and improve our DNA. At first, these changes will be confined to the repair of genetic defects, like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and those. These are controlled by single genes, and so are fairly easy to identify and correct. Other qualities, such as intelligence, are probably controlled by a large number of genes. It will be much more difficult to find them and work out the relations between them. Nevertheless, Hawking is sure that during the next century, people will discover how to modify both intelligence and instincts like aggression. Basically, electronically calming yourself down with chips and other insertions. Hawking says in order for mankind to reach and stretch into the cosmos, we will have to modify our bodies. In other words, if we want to go to the moon, if we want to live on Mars, we're going to have to modify our bodies in order to live in that environment. It's kind of hinting that we never were able to do so in the first place. Okay? Gravity has its effects on the human body, and when there's 1/6 gravity, that has its effects on bones and tissue as well. So we're going to have to find a way to modify our bodies even before we think about jumping off into the next sphere. Extraterrestrial or otherwise. Okay? So we're going to have to be modified human forms in order to venture out into the cosmos and live on other planets, which is an interesting concept. Ever since man has walked the earth, he's built the earth in his own image and destroyed it and built it and destroyed it and built it. That's a part of evolution. Smaller life forms have gotten into bigger life forms, more complex life forms. For thousands of years, this has been unprecedented. We've always done this. Fermi has also said that some civilizations, when they're in their technological adolescence, wipe themselves out. We are in our technological adolescence, and we could very well wipe ourselves out. And I'm not just talking about nuclear war. I'm talking about our ability to use our heads and use wisdom when playing with technology. You see, we, when we get to a certain point in our evolution, we tend to think we're godlike. I'm sure that the pharaohs of Egypt thought that they were godlike at one time. And then something came along and changed that. I'm sure that when they built the Tower of Babel, they felt that they were godlike. And then something came down and destroyed them. And they said, well, please don't kill us, extraterrestrial gods. We'll put up a big steeple and we'll worship you. You see? It all changes. And when we find we have no need for God, and we decide that we are that God, we'll reject that too, and maybe our technology will come back and bite us in the ass again. We never learn, but we always grow from our mistakes. And let's just hope that we don't fail in our adolescence now. By the time we get to the postmodern world that many human beings inhabit today, the lived-in physical environment is for the most part culturally produced. Reality is encountered mostly as virtual or produced as an effect on human enhancements and operations. We are kept constantly surrounded by human productions and technology that is indistinguishable from magic. We are transported everywhere by machines within a realm totally fabricated by human engineering. We remain mesmerized by phenomena that are electronically simulated. We lose ourselves in virtual worlds. How many people play video games online by applause? Nobody. How many do you do? Okay. Anybody go into virtual worlds? That is the first step to transhumanism. Playing video games, being addicted to them, being in a virtual world is one of the first steps to transhumanism. Most memories now that you have are electronically produced. They have nothing to do with reality. Much of the past that you know about has all been broadcast to you on the History Channel. Most of the 50s you remember were all broadcast to you through the Fonz, Happy Days, and the like. All the 80s and 70s are all been programmed into you by shows like That 70s Show, That 80s Show, Saved by the Bell. It's all memories electronically produced, and a lot of them aren't necessarily so. But people, younger generations, will believe that that's how the past was. Go ahead.
Don't forget the powerful effect of the Time Life music series.
Sure. And the Time Life music, how it was back then, how the music changed our lives. You know, they are packaging the past. And remember what Orwell said. Those who control the past control the present and the future. And if they can electronically pump into you the idea that this is the way the past was, they can immediately go in and they can tell you, well, this is how it used to be in the past. And you're like, well, wait a minute, that's not true. And it gets into debates on historical data, on medical data, on all kinds of data. Everything that is past can be electronically changed in your mind to be what it really was. And the thing is the simulation... If it's simulated, if your simulation is real enough for you, you'll believe anything. Go ahead.
In the late 90s, it was reported widely in the United States that the United Nations withdrew the weapons inspectors out of Iraq, and yet 2 years later, when they were preparing to go to war in Iraq in 2003, every major network lied and reported that Saddam Hussein kicked him out.
Exactly. Give him a hand.
Completely changed history.
What about weapons of mass destruction? There are still people out there that believe that there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And there aren't. There never were. It was a lie. But if they continue to perpetuate the lie... For example, does anybody now... Can anybody figure out why we're still in Afghanistan? No. Can anybody figure out why we're still in Iraq? No. We did. We killed Saddam Hussein, but we're still there. You see, in Orwell's 1984, he basically said that there wasn't a time where we didn't know that we weren't at war with East Asia or Eurasia. We were always at war, from what we understand, in the Middle East. How many people have said that? We're always at war with the Middle East. Go ahead.
Otherwise, we leave it in chaos.
What's that?
Otherwise, we leave it in chaos.
We live it in chaos?
Leave the place in chaos. If we just killed their leader and left, it'd be chaos.
Right. That's what they tell you. But do you think that maybe if we just up and left... There wouldn't be, I mean, they've been around for thousands of years. We've only been around for 200 and what, 25, 26 years?
It'd be pretty weird of us.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that, you know, I know that a lot of people say that they can handle it. But we've always been at war with the Middle East, right? By applause. There wasn't a time when we weren't. Right? I mean, that's the thing, is that they want you to believe that there's been a constant and perpetual war, and that's the status quo. Go ahead.
The weapons of mass destruction in the Mideast are the U.S., the English, and the Israeli military.
Okay, thank you. Give him a hand for that. See, reality has been replaced with non-objective thought or hyper-reality. It's not reality, it's hyper-reality, and if it has enough whistles and bells and special effects, you believe it. In movies, plays, whatever. Would it surprise you if I told you that Michael Jackson, it was announced that Michael Jackson was working on something called the Dome Project? Has anybody heard of what the Dome Project is? No. The Dome Project is that Michael Jackson had recorded himself in several locations, including a cemetery, dancing and singing and prancing around, and what's going to happen is he's going to tour the country as a hologram. How many people would pay to see a hologram of Michael Jackson? Some people would. I think it's creepy. It's something that it's called phasmatis ex machina, which is ghost from the machine. They're going to be generating his likeness in reality on a stage. It's almost like he hasn't left. He'll be here. He'll be playing on a stage, a 3D video piece, where he'll be dancing in a cemetery. And here's a picture of Prince Charles as a hologram, speaking at a diplomatic meeting. CNN used holograms during the election. And there's another way we can use a hologram, and that is to fake the arrival of a messiah. Literally a deus ex machina, something called Project Bluebeam. And we have talked about that as well, where they have the power and the ability to use electronics to convince you that a messiah has returned. Go ahead.
Or an alien invasion to unite us all.
Exactly. An alien invasion as well. As Ronald Reagan said, an alien invasion could unite us all. And that's another thing that's really spooky as well. The uncanny valley is something that I want to approach here. It's the hypothesis that holds that when robots and other facsimiles of humans look and act like actual humans, it causes a response of revulsion among human observers. All the pictures of the women that I have right here are either robots or they're electronic constructs. None of those women are human. None of them. None of them are human. They're all electronically produced or they're robots. Here's another thing you want to take a look at, too. All these women, they're not human either. They are sex robots. They're called real dolls. They're pleasure bots, advanced sexual dolls that have lifelike and heat-sensitive skin, a bendable skeleton, hair, and artificial sexual organs. They can be programmed to respond, and you can purchase one online for about $7,000. See, we're used to machines looking like appliances, not like women. Okay? That's the thing that's spooky about this. As the future moves forward, we will find that machines can take on human forms that are uncharacteristically real. Once humans move beyond their repulsion of lifelike machines, they reach a point of empathy. As our fears of man and technology diminish, we begin to see evolution enter closer and closer to transhumanism. How many guys in the audience find these women attractive? By applause. If you don't, you're gay. I swear to God, they're hot. In fact, Janine asked me, you'd fuck one, wouldn't you? I looked at her and go, no, baby, I love you. She's like, oh, yeah, fuck you. So, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty attractive. I told her, I said, no, it'd be like doing a corpse, okay? And it would be. Come on. Bend it like this, bend it like that. No. It's just a really sick idea. But see, that's the thing, is that I think men find this more interesting than women do. Women find it repulsive. But I always say to the women, hey, look, at least we have something that looks like a woman. Okay? You guys play with things that are only part, right? Is that right? You eliminate the man entirely. We have to have the whole fucking thing for $7,000. You can get it for, like, what, $25 and batteries, and you're happy, right? Transhumanism. Electronic things, technology helps out, doesn't it, ladies? Uh-huh, yeah. A loose definition of transhumanism is a point in evolution where man becomes something that is beyond human. Transhumanists see the human body as something that can be improved through science and technology. They also see technology as a means to where we can overcome suffering, aging, loneliness, and involuntary death. Transhumanist thinkers predict that human beings may eventually be able to transform themselves into beings with such greatly expanded abilities to merit the label post-human. The symbol for transhuman is H+, or enhanced human. What you're looking at here is an artificial sperm. This sperm is not made by... It doesn't come out of a penis, okay? It comes in a lab. Comes in a lab. Oh, pun. Pun. It comes in a lab, okay? This is an artificial sperm. It was just released the other day that they are now able to take the sliver of a man's finger and create sperm from it. That means that you can take a sliver from a dead man and make babies with that too. Okay? You can also take the sliver from a child that has died and make a baby with that as well. How many people are for that by applause? One person. Two people. Oh, really? A few more people. Wow. Okay. Okay, so we can father children from the dead, which is kind of easy. This means that we have reached a point in our evolution where we don't have to have the biological imperative to have sex. No longer do you have to have sex to make a baby. You can now do it by pricking your finger. Not by fingering your prick, but by pricking your finger. Right? You can now have a baby that way. You can make sperm from the DNA of a child. I mean, how would that affect us psychologically, socially, and ethically? The process could be done in a lab with artificial uteruses. Now, think about this. With this technology, it is feasible to get the same result from the stem cells in an aborted fetus. This would mean that if a woman wanted an abortion, she could request that the cells of the unborn fetus be basically salvaged and kept in liquid nitrogen, and then used later when the baby could be born in a more convenient time for the mother. Now, what do you think Right to Life groups would say about that? You're basically not really killing the baby. You're kind of putting the baby in stasis until it is time and convenient for the mother to have the child again. Right? So you're not really aborting the baby. You're just kind of like giving it an opportunity to wait a while. Okay? That's what's really creepy about this whole thing. Go ahead.
When I say yuck, I don't necessarily mean I'm against it. I just mean that at this moment it has an incredible squick factor, and I think that would be... It's gross.
It is gross. It's creepy.
And I think it would be that way to most of America until they start the PR campaign. And, you know, they can do that. They will make it attractive.
How many people, if they had a child and they lost that child, would they be willing to take the DNA from that child and have it be born again with this new technology? Yeah. It's very tempting. You lose a baby. No, you wouldn't. Why wouldn't you? Come on the microphone and tell us why you wouldn't do that. Please. You're new to the show. What's your name?
Shelly.
Hi, Shelly. Welcome to Ground Zero Lounge. Go ahead.
No, I'd want a new one.
You'd want a new baby?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to have...
God wanted that one, so I'd want a new one.
So you'd let that one die, even though you'd have the opportunity to have that baby. It'd be the same DNA?
No, I'd want a new one.
Okay, you'd want a new one.
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
Because God wanted that one.
So God wanted to take that one back. So you're willing to throw that to God?
Yep.
Okay. That's a good thing. Give her a hand for that. That took a lot of courage to come up to the show. Go ahead.
I think for the same reason that God wanted a baby to happen at a certain time, it's really weird to freeze babies.
Yeah, well, they freeze embryos and zygotes.
Yeah. Freeze it in the middle of the time, and that's just wrong.
See, the Pope says the same thing. In fact, the Pope met at the G8 summit with Barack.
Pope's totally right.
The Pope, yeah. The Pope actually... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. What's your name?
My name is Jamie, and I have triplets, and we did do in vitro.
You
so,
did?
Yes.
Okay, so that's part of the transhumanist thing.
Yes, it is.
And you have triplets.
I did.
Well, fantastic. How's that going for you?
It's crazy. It's a mom's night.
How long ago did you have those triplets?
They're three.
What's that?
They're three
now.
Three.
Oh, well, I also help raise a toddler, too. That's three at a time is kind of a lot.
Yes, and with... You know, things that when you can't have children, then, you know, you do other things.
So. Right. So how do you feel about this artificial sperm that I was just talking about?
I just walked in here, so...
Well, they now can do it outside of a lab. You don't need to have your man do it for you. You can just basically in vitro, just like what you did, but man can, if he's impotent, he can have it taken from his finger.
That could be okay.
Okay.
Depending on the situation.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for coming out and talking. Thank you so much. Give her a hand. Now, this is what we get. We get a woman who is, you know, this is what happens at the Ground Zero Lounge. We talk about this, a woman who has had in vitro and has three babies, happy, healthy babies, and we're talking about this whole thing. The Pope, though, is against this. The Pope actually met with Barack Obama and said, I'm going to hand you this information. Bioethics is something you need to consider. Now, what the media did is they played it up as abortion, but no. The Pope wanted to talk about these new discoveries, and he wanted to warn Obama that this is morally illicit, that it is wrong to be playing in God's place. But the upwingers are saying, we're all for it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Monsignor George Gonsalves, the Pope's personal secretary, told reporters that the document that he handed to Obama understands that the church's reasoning is behind efforts to protect human life at every stage of its development, from conception on down. So they're still thinking about these new types of technologies and what can be done. And you see, baby factories are kind of creepy. They remind me of Aldous Huxley a little bit. Have you ever read Brave New World? Transhumanist upwingers argue that these procedures promote life and the continuation of the soul. That is, if we have them, with these morally deplorable technologies, it is feasible to create another host for the continuation of your consciousness, basically another host for your mind. The idea of uploading the brain into the body of a clone or an artificially enhanced child has been considered by science and is one of our next steps in the evolutionary process. How many people are for cloning here in the audience? Anyone? No one. I'm for it. A couple people. I'm for it because clones are basically twins. And I have a genetic problem called tuberous sclerosis that if they were to clone a clone, they could go in and look at his genetic makeup and hopefully find a cure for me. But since everybody thinks that cloning is evil, I can't find a cure for my genetic problem. And so that's what would they do with him? He would be healthy, and I would be able to have offspring that would be healthy. That's the thing. They would be able to go in and analyze his genes and do genetic therapy to help him so he'll be healthy.
That doesn't make sense.
They can do that
with your DNA.
No,
without
can't.
Making a whole... Why not?
Because they wouldn't be able... They'd have to go in while he's still an embryo and figure out what's going on.
Oh, well, you didn't say that part.
Well, that's the whole thing. They'd be able to go... It'd be basically me in embryo again, DNA-wise. It's just something that I believe that cloning's fine. But see, here's the idea. Now they're working on back engineering the brain in order to download it into a computer program and then put it into a ball somewhere and put it in someone else's head. So I'd say 30 years in the future, you'll be able to take your thought processes and download them into a chip and have them inserted in another body eventually. Okay, this is something that, and I know you're shaking your head, some of you, but it is being done right now. They're reverse engineering the brain in order to do this. Makes you wonder why they still have Michael Jackson's brain, right? Okay, so yes, there is potential for abuse here. In 1958, Robert Sheckley wrote a piece of speculative fiction about humans' consciousness being transferred into a brain-dead body. This could unleash something known as the Frankenstein consciousness, where ethics once again need to be examined. While we have the capability of creating artificial intelligence, do we have the capability of building a model of a brain complete enough to allow conscious mind emergence? We don't know that yet. They're still trying to perfect this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sort of an interesting sideline to the whole concept of downloading your consciousness would be turning your consciousness and all your thought processes into single ones and zeros, making a whole clinical psychology turned into data analysis.
Well, that's basically what
and
they want to do.
Numerology.
It's numerology, of course. Go ahead.
Actually, the television show Dollhouse, they do that, and The premise of that one is that these people are basically turned into slaves. Their true consciousness is shelved for a term of 5 years, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, we're not sure. But they create personalities and put them into these people and send them out to be whatever a rich person fantasized.
Right. Well, there's also Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where they can do it as well. They're learning now that they can remove bad memories from that brain with certain types of chemicals and certain types of things. Something to keep in mind here, let's talk about identity for a minute. When we're downloading consciousness into a mind or a body, we have to think about the identity. And identity theft is a lot more than just your credit cards and your numbers by this point. One of the things that's interesting is that one of the concepts I've always urged people to do, you should copyright your DNA. You should go into the copyright office and copyright your DNA, because someone's going to be able to copy it in the future, and they'll be able to replicate you without your permission. It can happen, and I know that sounds weird, but it can happen in the future. This is only like 20 or 30 years away, people. Go ahead.
How can you copyright something you didn't make?
Well, you can copyright it because it's yours.
They may have to invent a new kind of claim just for that.
I'm sure they will. I mean, that's the thing. Cognitive liberty laws are going to be... I mean... Transhumanism, we wonder if transhumanism is literally killing parts of you in order for other parts of you to live. The brain is most delicate, and we debate the ethics of its, you know, transference, but think about this. How many people are organ donors on your cards, on your licenses, by applause? Okay? Do you realize that you have basically got into a voluntary transhumanist type of attitude where either you're going to receive an organ from somebody who's died, or you're going to die in order for somebody else to live? That's basically receiving body parts at someone else's expense. And you still feel good about this, right? you still feel good about the fact that somebody on top is making money off of your organs, and your family may have to have their houses repossessed in order to pay for your funeral. You're still fine with that, right? Organ donation is really, really a weird thing, and people have been conned into doing this, and it's really kind of a sick and twisted pimping of human flesh. And it's something that's transhumanist. It's something that you need to evaluate. Perfect idea. There's a woman named Claire Sylvia who basically had her heart transplant and a lung transplant, and she started craving Kentucky Fried Chicken and beer. And she didn't know why, because she was a dancer. Come to find out that her donor was a young kid who ate Kentucky Fried Chicken and drank beer a lot, and they're wondering if some of his consciousness traveled into her body, and that she got his heart, and his heart has basically changed her in such a way. See, we don't know what kind of accumulation of consciousness happens to body parts when we transfer them. They still don't know that, yet we give them to people all the time in order to use, in order for them to live. As you possibly can understand, transhumanism or the transposed humanity faces serious risks, especially from the misuse of new technologies. There are possible realistic scenarios that lead to the loss of most and even all of what we hold valuable. Some of these scenarios are drastic, others are subtle. Although all progress is change, not all change is progress. While there are advantages to most transhuman or human enhancement technologies, we need to understand that perhaps it is a moral imperative to limit our ability to integrate with machines and technology. If not, we're looking at voluntary genocide. We're all going to die in order to be better, which is kind of weird. It's kind of like moths to a flame. We're all addicted to it in some respect. The internet also is selling you on the idea of doing this, more so than science fiction. The internet is telling you, do this. It's important. Do it. Do it. Do it. They're always telling you to do that. Now, if our future is destined to be led by a nuclear conflagration, then that will slow down the process of transhumanism and will make way for globalism, nationalism, and all the other evils we're hearing about. The reason why they're pushing for the globalism and nationalism is because they want to have you kill yourselves instead of enhancing yourselves. Because if you enhance yourself with technology, you're basically eating up carbon, and they don't want that. They want you to basically kill yourself. And they'll do it. They'll give you an opportunity to, or they'll try and do it themselves. Go ahead.
In fact, wouldn't you say most of the transhumanism is reserved for Rockefellers and the Soroses of the world?
Exactly. Give him a hand for that. The elite believe in it, and they will do anything to enhance their bodies to do so. Global sustainability is where they want you to eliminate your carbon footprint. Transhumanism is where carbon-based people have to assimilate into becoming machines in order to survive. That's the difference. And being human is so last century. Bottom line, the upwing believe that technology will solve all social problems without collective action, except collective action in the sense of the general focus pursuit of science and technology, which is not what the right wing or the left wing are talking about. So we move into the first decade of the 21st century. Transhumanist science and upwinger ideas will be the new trend. It may be premature to draw attention to it now because it may be 10 or 15 years down the road, but we're already having people talking about enhancements in our evolution. Many people are already comfortable with taking drugs like steroids. You hear this story about steroids all the time. Those are enhancements that are part of transhumanism. People want to have a healthy life until they die, or they want to prolong their lives, and they get artificial knees, artificial hips, artificial hearts, artificial, you name it, they've got it, and they're giving people the opportunity to enhance that. And that's the thing, is how far are you willing to go with nanotechnology? Now, I have a few questions I want to ask you by applause, if you would answer these questions, you know, if you would answer them with honesty, it'd be great. Are you comfortable with seeing your body age, or would you consider cosmetic surgery, implants, chemical peeling, Botox injection, or liposuction? By applause. Anyone, would you consider liposuction? A couple people would. No, nobody would, okay? In order to prevent obesity, would you consider elective gastric bypass surgery? By applause. A couple people? No. Would you consider an injection of a microscopic nanotech robot to clean your arteries if it meant saving your life and keeping you from having a heart attack? By applause. Okay. Okay, some people say hell no. If it were possible, would you design your own offspring using genetic technology? By applause. We have one woman here that wanted to get triplets. She had in vitro. Okay? Would you save your DNA in order to allow the artificial insemination or use of your eggs in order to continue your progeny years after your death? By applause. I hear a few. Would you consider cell cloning or organ receiving in order to prolong your life at the expense of someone else's? Would you receive a donor liver or a donor heart by applause? Okay. If you lost a child due to premature death, and if it were affordable, would you take existing stem cells and convert them to sperm cells in order to conceive a child with the same DNA? By applause. Couple of you? None of you? Okay. Just trying to figure out where we stand with transhumanism. Would you be willing to link your thinking capacity, technologies, genetic or mechanic, which would intensely increase your cognitive abilities to the point of being able to multitask, managing multiple complex tasks, to hold vast amounts of information and models to be called at will? In other words, if you wanted to learn how to fly a helicopter, would you be willing to take a chip to learn it in 15 minutes in order to do it? By applause. I'm talking matrix technology. All this stuff that I'm talking about is available and can be done. Okay? If you were to get enhanced intelligence and have that put into your brain, would you accept it if it meant a job promotion? By applause. Would you accept a chip if it meant that you would starve to death if you didn't have that chip? By applause. Wow. A couple of you would. Okay. These are things that you're going to be facing in the near future, so you got to be thinking about this stuff. If you were given the opportunity, would you enhance your muscles? Would you take a pill in order to keep an erection? By applause. A couple people would. Okay. Would you want to have abilities like Superman or Spider-Man? By applause. Even if it meant that you would be ridiculed by your peers? By applause. Wow. Go ahead, Bob.
I'll tell you one you'll face sooner than any of those you mentioned is will you accept a vaccination that if you don't, you will go to prison?
Yes. Or be How many people would accept isolated. A vaccination if it meant prison time, if you didn't accept it? No vaccine. Come on, people. October is coming. Three vaccinations you're going to be required to have. You realize this. If you don't get them, you'll go to prison.
They've already announced in England they're going to force everyone to have two of them.
Okay, there you go. H5N1, you name it. They're going to be requiring us all to get a vaccination. If you don't get the vaccination, you get in prison. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think you're speaking of conventional prisons. I think you're speaking of all those FEMA camps you were talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They'll put you in a camp in order to get healed and feel better. I'm serious. This is important. Would you give consent to becoming part of a computer program if it meant you could live forever? By applause. Nobody. I would do that in a heartbeat. I would love to be in a computer program and live my life in a computer program. If you became terminally ill with a malady science had no cure for, would you voluntarily have your body cryogenically frozen in order to preserve it for a time when it could be revived and then healed? By applause. Couple people. I want this. I have called Alcor many times. It's very easy to do. You just basically give them your life insurance policy, and they keep you in nitrogen for as long as they're still in business. Go ahead.
I have a degenerative retinal disease, and I'm going blind in like 3 years.
Right.
And they still don't have a cure for that.
Right.
And I'm a carrier for hemophilia, so I can't have a child because, well, if I do, it's a 50-50 shot for it to be male or female.
Right.
And if it's a guy, it's like 99% chance it's going to be a hemophiliac, and they don't have a cure for that either.
Right.
And so I don't see this being so impending.
Breakthroughs are going to be happening. You may not be able to afford them, but they are working on things right now. Nanobite technology is available to go in and help you out with that. And that's the scary part. We're going to talk about nanobites quickly. Hurry, we've got to get going because we're almost out of time.
Well, I'm just saying, you said available before. Working on and available are quite far apart.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, they may have to rush the projects with these diseases that are coming down the pike. That's the thing. You know, we have new diseases that they're going to have to, you know, why do you think they want a new health care plan and they're pushing it through immediately? Because they have to evaluate the loss of many thousands of people because of diseases and people who can't afford health care. And they're going to eliminate certain types of treatments, and you're going to have experimental treatments in order to make this happen for yourself. If you find yourself saying yes to any of the questions I just brought up, the evolution to transcend the need for humanity should be in question. You are becoming more and more like a transhumanist. Okay? And you may believe that getting rid of your pain and suffering will give you freedom. That's one of the reasons why. Look what the internet has done to combine the consciousness of mankind. Every terabyte of information that runs through the network at the speed of light quite simply brings together the total consciousness of the planet. from the most mundane and profane to the sublime. Each time you add something to the internet, you are contributing your consciousness. And if we're shaped into a ball and placed into the brain of someone, they could become God. We've created God, people. It's already electronically being sent to us by the speed of light every day. And they'll be able to put that into a brain. Anytime they can do this, they can get control of you. We just heard a guy said the Rockefellers and those people would be able to control us. Not only that, but they'd be able to create a God that we could all fall down and worship. A new God that will send us into our new evolution. 2012 is coming, and you don't know what's in store. It has to appeal to the mass consciousness. Transhumanist ideas and technologies, breakthroughs can give us post-humans omnipotence and omniscience, but what it won't give us is it won't give us the wisdom to decide whether or not it should be done. It won't give us the objectivity to figure out if what we're doing is right. You see, that's the problem with this technology and this transhumanist idea. Where do we stop and what rules do we make in order to keep this from killing us off and destroying our humanity? We are, yes, I hear someone applauding. I don't know if anybody's listening now because everybody's talking. But it's true. We need to make rules. And I'm thinking we need to somehow find a moral common ground. Okay, with this technology. I mean, a lot of people here tonight are probably thinking that I'm talking out of my mind. But trust me. The Pope said what he said. It wasn't about abortion. It was about more than abortion. It was about this idea of creating sperm outside of the body. It was this idea of being able to take the DNA of a dead child and make it into another one. It's the idea of taking that skin from a dead child and making sperm in order for it to father another child. These are technologies that exist now, and they are very important. CNN, ABC, all these mainstream narratives are not talking about it because what does it do? It promotes life. They want you to die. They want two-thirds of the population to be taken out. They want a culling, and they're going to get it with the new flu that's out there. Wait till fall. You'll be hearing more about the swine flu, and it's not going to be two or three deaths in Mexico. Trust me. Go ahead.
I don't know if a lot of you have been, were kidding tonight, but I think what is left being left out of the quotient, I think what's being left out of the quotient is, if you're kidding, that's one thing, but if you're not kidding, where is your heart, man? I mean, if you get into a car accident tonight and your face gets cut off, okay, then I can understand you want to have your face pasted back on via DNA. But if you really are so turned on by these new tricks, then you gotta figure out the magician for what the magician is.
Wait a minute. Now, I'm going to ask you, since you're taking a very, very high ground here, because here's something. I had to face death 18 months ago, okay? I had double renal cell carcinoma. I wanted like hell to get those kidneys out of me, and I wanted to face a kidney transplant because I was dying. Now, I'm asking you, if you left here tonight and found out you had terminal liver cancer and you needed a liver, would you take it?
I would take it if either I would be getting it from myself or somebody else would be offering it freely.
Right. So in other words, somebody has to die in order for you to live.
If they're already dead.
No, they have to die first before you get that liver.
I don't want somebody to commit suicide for me.
They might.
No, I would not.
So if they told you that the donor of your liver committed suicide, you wouldn't take it?
Well, if they were already dead, then
okay.
Maybe I'd take it.
But see, what I'm trying to tell you is that how far are you going to go, and you don't feel you're losing your humanity in any way by allowing another person to die so you can live? Utilitarianism here. You're allowing someone to die for you.
I'm not allowing somebody to die for me if they're already dead.
Okay.
If they're already dead, you know, that's one thing. That's the borderline.
Okay. I just wanted to find out where you were.
But the thing is, what I'm hearing tonight, I'm wondering whether people are just kind of joking around or if they're really serious.
No, I think there's a lot to be said about living forever. I think a lot of people really don't want to die.
I think it's a question of vanity.
You know, we're having it bred into us.
You know, if somebody has an accident and they want to fix themselves up, you know, that's cool. But there's got to be a freedom of ability to offer a gift and not some kind of bullshit where you buy your luxury dash vanity,
right,
in order to
well,
prevail.
But people do it, and then people are thinking about it, and that's our next step in our evolution. I hear people clapping,
because
people do it.
After that, it can get carried away. Vanity,
well, you're clapping for him?
Vanity.
Okay, applaud loudly for him. Give him a hand if you believe what he's saying. I don't know. You know, they have robots now that eat flesh. They eat mice and they eat flies. Okay? Robots are flesh eaters now. They can eat you if you're not careful. This is a slug bot. This eats slugs in the garden. It finds them and it puts them in a container and eats them and uses them for fuel. This robot eats bacon. It eats bacon in order to survive. That's what they feed it. Here's a robot that eats humans. No, not really. This is a robot that rescues humans. Although, they can retrofit it with a container to where it can eat squirrels, rabbits, other vermin like rats, and small children if they just happen to get in the way. And they get diced up and eaten well. Robots now have the ability to copy themselves. Once again, robots can reproduce. Sex no longer a biological imperative. Humans don't have to have sex to reproduce, and now robots, they don't either. They can rebuild themselves with spare parts and something else, which leads us to something called nanobots and the technocalypse, which is basically the idea that technology will kill us before nuclear bombs will. It's the idea that little nanobites, microscopic, almost the size of an atom, can be injected in you, and they can clear out cancers, they can clear out all kinds of problems with your veins, if you have atherosclerosis, they can go in and they can do the job that doctors can't do. The only problem is that if these little creatures, these little things we make, can reproduce, and if they reproduce, they will basically eat the earth in about 72 hours. In order for, and it's called gray goo, is what they call it. In order for gray goo to be a threat, science must construct shapes, devices, machines with atomic precision and combine them into a wide range of products inexpensively. Then these molecular machines would have to be capable to replicate like rabbits, rabbits with a vicious taste for carbon-based life forms. Now, isn't technology supposed to help us? You see, it can be to our detriment that we're moving this quickly into our technological adolescence. All we need is one nanobite to think, to reproduce, and to reproduce at a rapid rate, it will spread like a disease, and the entire planet will be engulfed in something called gray goo. That is where technology gets pretty bizarre. Ahead in the valley of the future is that fate that we call the gray goo. It rides on the train we call science, a runaway train that is due. It all starts with something quite harmless, theories that seem a bit lame, but mankind is so freaking careless that we all end up dead just the same. So we leave you with this bit of warning. We hope that you all give a damn. If this tale of the future was boring, then how about some green eggs and ham? Once again, we'd like to thank Dante's. Give them a round of applause for having us here tonight. I'd like to thank the lovely, sexy cyborg, Janine, for creating a lot of the graphics here tonight. And we'd like to welcome you once again to come back to Dante's for another show where we're going to inform you, let you know what's going on in the world. And remember, any show that you would like, any of this information, I do make copies. They're $10 a piece. I basically bring them to you next week. You come back next week, the show, I give you a copy of the show. I would also like you to tune in to ZeroPointRadio.com to listen to these shows. And please, please, tip your waitresses, buy a beer, have a slice of pizza, and have a great night. Karaoke from Hell's up next from the Ground Zero Lounge. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.